So anyway, about that bread.
On that bread. On our daily bread.
Bread.
Damn, Spencer.
Spencer. Anyway, okay.
Spencer!
So, welcome to Star Trek Trek Trek, our ongoing continuation of watching every Star Trek episode possibly ever and talking about it and reviewing it. We are now talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine's very own Babel, the bread episode. Yes, which featured a rogue virus.
Aren't you glad you stayed, Stars?
Yeah,
this was fun. This was actually a fun episode, I think. Like, so, yeah, the episode where we have the aphasia virus that wanders through, gives everyone word salad, and we have to get Kira to abduct a poor, hapless medical technician, and go, haha, you're infected now, come solve us, and then he just does. So, guys, how was this episode for you?
Quark's a fucking hero, man.
He's so good! This was, no, I tell you what, this is an underrated Quark and Odo episode.
Yeah, it actually
Are there any overrated Quark and Odo episodes? Because
maybe the ascent. Like,
oh, what a
the
banger!
Ascent is probably a little bit. That's okay.
The ascent is a bit boring. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
But it's good. But not like his timeless jacket. So.
Yeah, you know what the problem is with the ascent? It treads over old ground, but not up the mountain.
Okay, so this episode was written by Sally Caves. Sally Caves, this was the only thing. Plus, Hollow Pursuits was also written by this, and also co-written by Ira Stephen Bear, who, yeah, you don't even need to say that word without knowing his...
It was his first credit, actually, for DS9.
Yeah, so, yeah, he is prolific with this episode, but, yeah, Ira Stephen Bear and DS9, like, married in heaven, but directed by Paul Lynch. Paul Lynch also directed a fair bit of TNG, a few minutes, like, from The Naked Now. Well, yeah, we will have spoken of Paul Lynch before with The Naked Now and the Bynars episode, The First Duty, and a few DS9 early season episodes. I think he directs quite a lot of season one DS9. We're going to get The Passenger from him, the Rayo of Antica episode.
Boy.
He directed that one as well. So
you buried the lead. Hollow Pursuits is a great episode.
Hollow Pursuits
it's
is
so
a great
good.
Episode. Yeah. So, yeah.
Hollow Pursuits is amazing, actually. Yeah.
I have to say, this was... I enjoyed this episode. I feel like this was a typical... It's a typical DS9, early DS9 episode, like one of the ones they did before they kind of got into the whole Dominion War arc or the Klingon War arc. This was a good, like, we're on a station that involves the Bajoran government somehow, but we're going to see how overworked O'Brien is and how that can lead to, you know, everyone just talking gibberish and dying, including Jake.
So I feel like this script shows some of that early TNG-ness that is still present in DS9 Season 1. I feel like this is 75% DS9 and 25% TNG. There's a little bit too much lingering on the actual virus, and it's like, the virus is, like, funny in what it does to people, but I don't really care about sitting there for, like, 2 minutes watching Bashir just count through nucleotide sequences. Like, I feel like they could have either, like, hurried that up or done it in a slightly snappier way. Like, I'm fine with medical, you know, because guess what? It's a existing trope episode, you know, the medical virus that is ravaging the crew and, you know, set down to one, a million of them. And how well they come across and how well they age is a lot often down to how well you do the character drama associated with it. And the character drama here is so much better than the medical portion that I'm like, I could have done without any of the medical portion, honestly. It didn't really do anything for me because Bashir does nothing. Bashir and Dax, the medical and science officer, do nothing, really, honestly. They do a bit of exposition, but there's no like character in anything they do. All the character in this episode comes from O'Brien, Sisko, Quark and Odo. Those are the four characters that actually have any character.
That's by design. If you give all that stuff to them, then what room does Quark have to be the hero?
Dustbin scene help.
Yeah, but you could have given a bit more character to how Bashir was doing
for it. For much widget. They're a fire for the after Tola.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to make that joke.
And mute.
And nothing of value was lost.
Kira has a lot to do in this episode. Kira's doing a ton of this
she
episode.
She does, yes.
Yeah, Kira's doing a lot. Yeah, okay, I'll give Kira as well. But it's
we
like,
even ragged on her for having all the Trekno babble, so...
Well, yeah. It's like, what character do Dax and Bashir demonstrate in this episode? Like, Dax has the fun bit with, like, you know, her lab making a loud noise, but that's about her lab, not about her. And she has, like, one conversation with, like, Kira about, oh, I need to open you up to things. It's like, okay, and then that doesn't really go anywhere. And then she's immediately taken out by the virus. It's like, we already kind of know what Kira and Sisko and all these other characters are about. Bashir and Dax, by this point in the series, are very thinly sketched out. And they will continue to be for a while until they settle on what they want their characterizations to be. I feel like it's like they kind of get like knocked off at the head way too early here.
I kind of get what you say when you say this is like a TNG script, because Kira's the words that Kira's given, the plot line Kira's given, doesn't entirely make sense other than to be a sort of a plot point. Go, oh yeah, this was planted by the Bajoran militia. Okay, that has to be a Kira thing. But like you say, she's given all this techno babble. She's the one that sort of seems to last the longest, even though you have like Quark and Odo who are never affected. Like, it does seem like there's a little bit of mischaracterization in this, in the dialogue.
It just feels like it would have made way more sense for her to get taken down first, and then like give Dax the ability to last longer because she's Trill. I feel like that would have made more sense.
Well, wouldn't it have made more sense for Bajorans to be slightly immune to it, since it was designed to
maybe
attack non-Bajoran occupiers?
Yeah. I guess.
I think you have to collaborate. Yeah, I disagree sorry, Gunn also.
This story is exactly the kind of stuff the Bashir and Dax will get for the next 7 seasons. Them being knocked out allowed the characters who would never get this stuff to shine. We loved what, obviously, we all love what Quark did because he's great. Armin's great. Odo got a lot of stuff that he wouldn't normally do, even though he's usually involved in ship's business. And then, it makes sense for the Bajoran to kind of be the one to last the longest out of everyone. So I really like that. It gave a different feel, because normally you want, you know, everyone in their roles to be doing the stuff, and I just thought it made it feel different to have everyone do something slightly different than what they normally do.
I see that point, but it's just a case of like knowing how little Dax and Bashir relatively get for these first 2 or 3 seasons.
They'll make
it's
up like, for it.
The other side of it is
in the backfill of the season, but it's like of the show rather. But like season 1 and 2, Dax are very thin on characterization.
The other side of it is we're very early in DS9 at this point. Like, roles haven't been quite assigned to characters yet. We're not sure who should be speaking all the technobabble, who should be the kind of a frontish military person. So it's kind of like it's a little bit of an unusual one, where we haven't quite sort of seen the lines of the different characterizations yet.
On one hand, we have the benefit of hindsight, so Stars, what you're saying is true. But on the other hand...
But they didn't know that at the time, yeah. You know, you on the other hand, on that.
We see what happens when they give more stuff to Bashir, so let's not do that.
Oh, man. I also like when they put like Starfleet personnel fish out of water, like someone suddenly has to be the pilot, someone suddenly has to be the security officer. I mean, you should be good at everything when you're in space, right? That's like, we all forget, we're in space. Space wants to kill you constantly. You need to be good at everything.
Like
Normally that's true, but when it comes to Kira and Odo, they are specifically not that, so... That's why the threat of coming out of her mouth is a bit weird.
Like, I feel like
you
could
there you go.
I'll also say I disagree with the pacing thing, because, spoiler alert, my favorite part of this episode, we got to 11 minutes and something seconds without any plot. It was just O'Brien dicking around getting really upset, and I loved it. That's what's great about old school 24 episodes in a season. You have the time to screw around and character development, last Trek we did TNG, we said, oh, there wasn't enough of that. They gave... You know, there was a lot of that in here, and it's because they have time to let it breathe.
DS9 is historically way more interested in that, which I do appreciate, yeah.
So, you know, they have to give a significant chunk of the episode to the threat, so they did that, but they started way later than most. You ever watch modern shows now where the cold open doesn't come till like 15 minutes and it throws you off? Like, that's what this episode was.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Right. Know what I mean? The title, the cold open goes.
Discovery's definitely been a sort of a criminal of that one.
Well, Strange New Worlds did it 15 minutes in once, and I was really thrown by that.
Was it really 15 minutes? Holy shit.
Yeah, it was like Spock and Mock. Remember, we were like, oh god, you actually just dropped the tribal sequence like 15 minutes into the episode. That. It was crazy. Yeah. I just realized what would fix my problem with the Kira Tretna Babel thing. Have her like read it off and then be like, or so the computer says. I don't know.
I think
this
I'm
aphasic
now because I understood none of these words.
Yeah, exactly. That would be hilarious. I feel like that put a bit of a lampshade on the fact that I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. I'm not a Starfleet nerd. That'd be a good one.
No, see, they should have actually made that more of her character, where she would like suddenly have a skill. And then she'd be like, you know, I wasn't always a major in the majority.
Well, that's just to randomly have backstory. Yeah.
Or no, she shows herself to be extremely adept at things, but then like dumbs it down right at the end and be like, oh, I overheard that somewhere. I don't know what it really means.
Right. She's resistance. You know, she's a revolutionary. She has to know everything.
She's got spunk, as they would say.
What is that episode where they're, I think it's a Voyager episode where they're like, no, it's Data. I think it's Data Lore, where Riker tries to trick Lore into revealing more than he knows. He's like, and what's the sum of the square root of the intermix ratio or whatever? And Lore reads it off. Yeah. He goes, oh, I heard that somewhere. Like, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're tricking the audience instead of the actual person, you know, that's kind of like a bit duplicitous.
Okay. I think we have to call out someone. I don't know this man's name, but whoever the fuck was acting out that boring, emotionless freighter captain with like two beards on his face and a look on his face like a shot puppy dog.
Well, in the watch through, you guys are saying, well, he's under makeup. I'm like, yeah, so are Armin Shimerman and Rene Aubergeonnet. Yeah, literally, both those guys are under caked under makeup, and they are so expressive. This guy's just like, well, my ship has been contained. And I'm very upset right now. I am literally apoplectic with rage, and I need you to let me out. And like, literally was showing no emotion.
Honestly, the quality of his acting is such that he probably would have stuttered over his line like that. Like, exactly. Yeah, there's no like body language, there's no like frustrated gesticulating with his hands. There's none of that. It's just, I am sure reading
his
my lines.
His should have started like going like this when he's
yeah.
Fucking make it twirl like a bow tie. Why not? Like, oh god. Like, just so lame. He was probably one of the most boring alien actors.
He's pretty bad.
Because when you're an alien actor, you kind of need to bring the character. You really need to commit to the bit. Like, we always talk about the Voyager character with the interstitial structure.
Yeah, but that's cool.
That
that's
guy.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, because that guy sells the character and he's got a good design. Yeah. And so this guy has neither going for him.
Okay, right, so...
Now I'm going to look up this guy.
See, I wasn't, because I didn't want to shame him. I just want to sort
name
of
and shame.
Like, oh, let's learn them all way for it, because I know
it was 30 years ago. I think the statute of limitations on name and shame has expired.
I feel like not everyone has their Tom Hardy moment. People recover from this kind of stuff, so, you know.
he's watching us right now. That's not bring his name.
Actually, Sean, what were you doing around 1995?
Sean's a billion times better than that. Come
on. I know.
You should be ashamed.
I'm only picking on you because
I should have moved out. Trust me, I watched stuff from the 90s and the 2000s, and I kicked myself continually for not moving to Los Angeles instead of insisting on being a New York actor.
Let's talk about what other Trek cast would you have seen this episode. Like, and I feel like this is also cheating because this has been done on TNG. Well, this is the kind of the Naked Now a little bit. I mean, Voyager
is everything.
Did they kind of?
I mean, Strange New Worlds did this.
Yeah,
Ghost of Valyria is the exact same thing.
It's kind of
and also
Space Rhapsody is this as well.
Well, no, Star Trek Rhapsody, they're still talking normally, but it's just used to the singing. But, like, if you want a season 2 comparison, it's way more like, the one where they lose their memory. Among the Lotus Eaters.
Yeah.
More like that.
Did Voyager ever have a plot like this?
Oh, I'm sure it did.
It did.
A million viruses and
Voyager
problems.
Like a virus going around the ship? Well, I mean, there was the one where... They were all artificial.
Yeah, I was thinking macrocosm. That's a bit more out.
Well, they were like, there's the one where they were all simulants, right? Where they were all
the demon planet one,
replicants.
Yeah.
And they're desperately trying to get help before they dissolved into clay.
Such a tragic episode.
That's
I hate
one.
That one because it makes me feel things.
How dare they elicit emotion?
But speaking of not eliciting emotion, can I just say, normally I absolutely adore Avery Brooks and I adore Sarah Kloft and I adore the Jake and Sisko relationship, but man, the scene where like he's trying to comfort him and like it just it fucking falls down.
What else could you have done with
face.
That, though? It's literally like Jake is espousing utter nonsense, and Cisco is his father's just like, what else can I do? I'm just going to hug my boy. I would be exactly the same. If my boy's in trouble, what can I do?
Guess what? It would have been more emotive if they had just showed him, like, hugging him really hard, and then maybe Jake has to, that would have been way more emotive rather than, like, this kind of rote, everything's going to be fine, Jake. Like, it just... I feel like it's a disservice to the actors and their relationship. Like, they had better material in other episodes.
I feel like you could have done it more with
physical acting.
The serialization of this show, like, it feels like this is another step in that amazing, like, bonding moment. And the showing, like, Cisco being a good father over duty, which is one of his major strong points. So I don't mind that.
It's funny you say that, because they actually call out Memory Alpha, them being proud of this moment in their relationship and the tactileness of it, which they haven't shown to this point. And we were joking in the watchroom about, like, the things he could say anything to his son at that point, and he can't understand them. But it's the soothing voice, it's the holding, it's the being there for him that's important. So I did like it.
Well, see, I appreciate the tactility and, like, the physical presence of it, but I just feel like the dialogue in that scene was just not particularly interesting. Like, I feel like, I think of like good Jake and Ben's moments, it's like, I think of the moment where he wakes him up in Emissary, and he's like, you know, you look sad, what's up? And it's like, oh, I was just thinking about your mom. And just, like, doing that, like, you're kind of drunk dad, like, moment where it's like, but it's sad, and you're like, it's relatable. And it's like, it says so much with so little, whereas this was like Cisco had like fucking five long lines of like reassuring Jake it's gonna be fine. It's like, I feel like they could have done so much more. Like,
that line would play so different. Like imagine if Garrick woke up Bashir, he's like, what are you doing? Thinking about your mom.
Oh my god.
All right. Would this have worked if that scene when they're in like makeshift sick bay or whatever, if Cisco and if Ben and Jake are there having that conversation, but they're both aphasic, and so they can't,
that would have been
no
cool.
one knows what they're, they don't understand each other, but it doesn't
I'd
matter
like that.
Because
yeah, I'd like
just
that a lot. Yeah.
The tone. Like, yeah. I reckon Avery Brooks
yeah,
is great
yeah.
from just
that'd
getting,
be really strong,
say,
actually.
Like,
yeah.
you know, bread, vitamin D, stream deck. I'm just looking at things around my desk. I don't have a loaf of bread at my desk.
I mean, it works.
Tissues, lotion. Sorry. Go.
Keyboard wolf crackers.
Klingon antidepressant glasses. There you go.
But no, like, I feel like if you would, instead of having Cisco pass out his console, have him go down to Jake when he realizes that he's aphasic, and you do that, that would be way more emotive, because then it would kind of sell the point of, yeah, it doesn't matter what he's saying, what matters is he's there, and you sell the tactility of the relationship that way. That'd be a smart way of doing it. I like that.
Can I give a big shout out for the awesome continuity of the Quark Odo scenes throughout this episode? Because this was simultaneously a Quark Odo and a Kira episode, but the Quark Odo stuff was like supreme. They played off as the B plot, but secretly it's the A plot. Because, like, you know, you have the whole scene with...
Well, it's Quark, what you're interested in,
Quark's replicator breaks, so he sneaks up and Odo catches him, and then Odo's at his wit's end on the bridge and he's, I need help, anyone need help? And Quark's like, ha-ha, I'll be 450
Hey, fucker! Might as well just sashayed on in heels. He was so fucking sassy.
He should have had something like twirling around his fingers as he walked.
Yeah, exactly. You should have like firecrackers and shit. Yeah, totally.
And you get that scene where he's like sending Odo over this as like, I'm sure I saw someone operate this once. And he's like, ha-ha, fuck you, I'm gonna tease you all the way. Like, the strength of DS9 is Quark and Odo for me. Like, that is their relationship. Yeah. Like, that saves moving along
the
home.
The bedrock,
for me. That's
actually,
the one reason I like that episode and things in the future. And you get to the Ascent, which is great.
Even what I complained about initially, they remedied beautifully, because at the beginning of the episode, there's a surly customer that has grabbed Quark and is about to force feed him. And I'm like, your security chief is standing right there while this man's getting assaulted. But it's great because he lets him get mildly assaulted once because he's fucking Quark and he hates him. And then he immediately goes over and stops the man from doing any real damage. Right. So it's like, you got to teach him a lesson, but don't actually hurt him. So.
Yeah, I like that. It's good stuff. What else was I going to say? Oh, God, it was something I was going to say. Oh, if we were going to do casts, I would love to see this exact plot, not one like it, with this exact script. TOS. I want to see Shatner have to do this.
Trouble with Tribbles? A little bit?
Dude, he already did Esperanto. This is nothing for him.
This exact script. I want Shatner red. I want Shatner red.
You want Shatner overacting the kind of, like, reciting things.
I want it. You know he would do it.
Can you give me Shatner's bread?
Bread! See, there you go, and I want to see Leonard Nimoy do it as well. You know, Leonard Nimoy would do great as Isaac Starr. It'd be fun, great fun.
The much harder part would be to have him with an intimate moment in his son, showing that he actually cares about him. So,
okay, David Marcus, yeah, that doesn't have
one. I think bread would be the easy part of that. Since this was your idea initially, what cast and or crew would you want to see?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a throwback to Naked Time, right? So
Naked,
so
this is DS9's Naked
Time. They've already, you know, you've already had you know, Sulu running around fighting Richelieu shirtless, or and TNG also did this thing. I mean, let's let Lower Decks go crazy with this one, right? Like,
it's Naked Time.
They have the highest ceiling. It's already a silly episode just by its idea. You have people walking around saying random words. They would take it up to 11 for sure.
I feel right.
Yeah,
I
mean, they'd be like Bell Riot's First Contact.
Yeah, Discovery already did it, right? Where the universal translator
Babel,
sort of malfunctioned,
yeah.
And Saru was like, "Don't any of you study?"
I am Hoshi Sato of the 22nd century, 23rd century. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind Enterprise doing this, and I can imagine Bakula doing a decent bread.
Is this what we've reduced the episode to? Just like.
Bread,
who can do the best bread?
Oh, bread, was that your Sam Beckett quantum leap? Oh, bread, was that what you were doing?
Yeah. Sam Beckett leapt into Avery Brooks, leapt into during the filming of DS9. Incredible. All right, let's head over. Oh, go on.
I'll shout out Alexander Siddig for this one, because I bash him relentlessly for early season and mid season and most of late seasons. He was good in this. He wasn't out of line, you know.
You like that Dutch angle hero shot of him staring at the view screen,
that was a smart little directorial moment where they show us. It may have been written in, but where they show us on the screen, you know, what he sees, seeing it through his eyes. So.
He sees the gym.
By the way,
Captain
Jaheel was played by Jack Keeler, character actor extraordinaire, who has been in over 172 television shows.
Wow.
Were any of them good?
It is time.
Is he
cheap?
He doesn't charge him,
right? No, he was in a lot of good stuff. He was in a lot of good stuff. No, he sadly actually passed away last year, but... So you're talking ill of the
I'm
dead.
I'm sure he was a great actor.
It wouldn't be the first time we spoke of the dead. When one of us dies, I hope that someone says something remarkable to us.
So, some years ago...
Captain Idol, he sure was... red.
Red. Some years, about 15 years ago, my sister had an aphasic episode.
Oh, really?
Which they claim was brought on by a migraine, and she was paying hospital bills for years after, but that's a different American story. And so we were just in the room together, and she started talking. I couldn't understand her, and I was confused for a second. And then when she realized I couldn't understand her, she started to get upset, a little bit flushed. You know, nothing coming out was, and she told me later she could hear the words she was saying and she knew that they were wrong, but she didn't know how to say the correct words. And so I knew that was a possible symptom of stroke. So we got her to the hospital, talked to her. It actually passed before we even left the house, but I'm glad we went. You don't want to screw around with something like that. It's scary stuff. So even though this episode is goofy, you know, in real life, they can really be scary.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know what? I do have to give the episode props. Like, it has a more interesting way of, like, because in every medical contagion episode, you always have the moment of the, okay, what's the dramatic reveal of the virus? Like, you have, like, in Ghost of Illyria, it's the red glow up with number one, essentially. That's how you first know something is wrong. And here you have, like, the O'Brien just, like, kind of saying that stuff, and you, like, they do a decent job of setting up the bait and switch of, like, you know, he's been working, like, 30 hours around the clock, he's so annoyed that he's talking back to Sisko like he's fucking nothing, and then he comes out with this gibberish, and you're like, are you okay? Like, you have the same reaction as the in-universe character. You're like, are you okay, Chief? Do you need to go home? And that's what kind of sells it. And even though it gets sillier and sillier to a degree, they do at least commit to the bit, and every time someone falls ill to it, they do at least give it the proper dividends. Okay, this is a problem. This is actually starting to become a problem.
Mm. All right, let's go on to our best and...
Now you can move us on.
Yeah, now I can keep the episode going. Best and worst moments. Let's start with you, Otto. Best and worst moments.
Oh, I knew you'd do this to me. Well, I already gave you my best.
Okay.
11 and a half glorious minutes of Seinfeld. Nothing happening. But it didn't matter because I was enjoying learning about these characters. Mm. Worst. Gosh. Sorry, I'm going to be a basic male image and take, what's his name? The guy that died last year. Just one Jahil. Of the worst.
Jack Keeler.
Captain Jahil.
Just one Captain Jahil.
Just one of the worst minor
characters. Did they actually just take his name and, like, go, like, Jack Keeler Jahil? Yes. Oh, my God. Wow.
The first shot when they introduced me, he's talking to O'Brien, so you only see him from behind.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
face.
Oh, that's the most, like, plain, basic voice. It's going to be some human or Bajoran schmuck. And then they show his face. He looks like a Shar-Pei puppy. I'm like, what? That's the most human-looking voice to come out of an alien I've ever heard. So, thumbs down. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, wow. Shy.
My favorite moment is Kira kidnapping the guy right out of his lab. Like, you know, it's nice to see McKee actually acting like McKee. Like, she just ignores Sisko, flies off the station. You know, none of this instant assimilation.
And we were giving her shit for, like, oh, she's going to infect Bajor, but she does the smart thing and just, like, keeps it, like, localized.
Yeah. It's not like Chakotay instantly, like, tamed by Janeway on Voyager. You know, she's a loose cannon. She's a renegade.
And Odo's like, you better let her go. And Sisko's like, oh, fine, fuck it.
Right. Yeah. Frontier exploration.
It's funny you say that. Sorry to jump in, but because I just watched Equinox, the season 5 cliffhanger, and then part 2 in season 6, and Janeway goes full Sisko, tries to kill a bunch of Starfleet officers, and Chakotay actually, like, defies her, runs into the room to save this poor Noah Lessing, this poor guy who's has Noah. He's just trying to be loyal to his captain. So he has some shred of Maquis left in him, even in the later seasons.
No, I know,
but
I know. I'm just
in general, I agree. Sure.
But then my worst moment is the fact that this guy is so freaking reticent to come help, and he cures the thing in like 10 minutes.
Less than that. He's
like, oh, here's the cure. It's like, you couldn't freaking leave your office and look at a database for 5 minutes.
I had 5 appendectomies to schedule, and I could not be torn away.
Terrible.
I like to think there was a plot there where he was I feel there was something left on the cutting room floor where it was like, oh, it's an old Bajoran resistance thing. He would have been implicated in trying to kill Cardassians or something like that. That I feel like that was kind of left out of it. Instead, he was just played out of like, I haven't got time for this. You know, played us to be the arrogant asshole.
I think a lot of people who've worked as a consultant have reached the point where they're like, all right, my hourly fee is $1,000, and if you don't want to pay it, I'm not going to come do it. So I kind of do understand that a little bit.
Stars, best and worst moments.
I actually have 2 best moments. Ooh. So my number one best moment has to be the Quark and Odo stuff. It is just sublime. Yeah. Guess what? I don't think DS9 would be even like a third of the show it was without that relationship. It is so key to so many episodes, and it's so key to the feel and the vibe.
I feel like the more we do DS9, that is going to be one of our best moments. Cool, like, so someone's going to go, "Hey, Corbin, yeah, yeah, that's mine." I'm claiming that this
week. Well, I mean, the single, well, it's the best part of Crossfire as well, which is an incredible episode. And my second best moment would have to be just
Camp
O'Brien
story.
Losing his fucking rag at Cisco, and Cisco's just in the background, like, okay, and it's just like going on at him for like a full 30. And guess what? I've been there, right? I don't know if I've told the story, but have I told the story about when I started screaming at my manager at work?
No,
you're about to.
No, yeah, okay. So I had this manager. His name was Mark, and he was an absolute fucking dipstick. Okay,
did you say Mark? Like the barber?
Mark. No, I wish he'd been named Mark. I would have liked him more. Mark. Yeah. And he was just like ass backwards, couldn't do anything right. And like, so I work in secondhand electronics retail, right? And like, he came up with this rule of like, okay, cool, we need to make sure we're putting serial numbers on the headphones when we book them in. Don't leave up for the tester. Okay, cool. Perfectly reasonable rule. He books in 4 pairs of headphones without a serial number. I am on test. I get these headphones, I check the thing, and I'm like, there's no serial number on these. You told us this fucking morning we're meant to have serial numbers on them. And I am a relatively mild-mannered individual when I'm not on stream. This is a persona, okay? When I'm at work, I am relatively calm and collected, and I try my best to be a normal, functioning human being. But this guy had been doing my fucking head in for like 6 months by this point. So I call him over, and I'm like, Mark, what's wrong with this? Hold and on, he just gives me this look. Like, just...
Was his last name Alimo, perchance?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't nearly as charming as Alimo.
Dear
he wishes
CEX
he was very
employees.
Slimy, like a Kardashian. Yeah. So, I you know what? I should record that as a bit. So, I call him over, and I'm like, Mark, look at this. And he just gives me this completely uncomprehending look. He can't fathom why he has that. It's like I'm phasing, and he doesn't get it. I made it topical, see?
Hey.
And I say, Mark, look at it. Look at it. And my voice just starts to escalate in tone and volume until I am just screaming at him, look at it. And customers are looking. Other members of staff are just staring. And I just keep on going. And then he has to, like, leave. He leaves the store. And then he, like, walks upstairs. And he's like, can I talk to you? And then he's like, he didn't have a go at me because he knew he was wrong and he knew he'd been fucking up. But the fact was, I have never screamed at someone at work until that moment. And that is the exact vibe I was getting off of O'Brien in that scene. So guess what? I really fucking felt that. I felt it in my heart. So that's my second best moment.
It works a lot better when you're indispensable, too, because what are they going to do, fire him?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, fire O'Brien. He's the only guy keeping the fucking station working. Mm-hmm. He does the work of 20 men. The worst moment, I would have to say, I've already kind of ragged on it for other things. Just, like, the kind of the basic kind of rote nature of the plot. Like, you could do a bit more interesting things with an aphasia virus and just kind of funny, you know, excerpt, so have it, I don't know, maybe not have it be full of South-based Rhapsody where it reveals your true feelings, but maybe have it, like, cause it a bit more degree of interpersonal conflict. I don't know. I don't know how you'd quite write that, but it just felt a bit too much like this is a virus, it is causing bad things to happen. It has a funny symptom, but otherwise it's a completely normal, deathly virus for Star Trek, you know? I felt like it was a bit plain in that respect. And I know I've ragged on episodes from previous for being like plain, but like, given how much good character moments you're getting from Cisco and Kira and Quark and Odo and O'Brien, like, having the virus just be so utterly plain, it doesn't have any character like the quickening or even like the macro virus. Like, you can give viruses a character and a feel. This one just kind of felt boring, but I don't know. I'm liking this episode more the more I'm thinking about it.
They should have an episode of Star Trek where it's just an anthology of different moments when the doctors just cure the virus right away. And like, oh, got it, done. And it's like six different, like, yeah.
I probably made this joke before, but the show 20, if everyone listened to Jack Bauer, the show 24 would be called 5 or something.
yeah, pretty much.
5 minutes, everyone's fine, yeah. Look at my best moments. My... My worst moment is, I'm surprised no one picked this up. Jadzia, Dax, and Kira are walking down the promenade, and everyone's looking at, literally, men are turning around, looking and going, hey, baby. And like, she goes, oh, I forgot what it was like to be a woman. Like, she's literally just kind of like,
female.
It's so very Burman and sexist. Like,
male.
Literally, men are looking at, turning and going, hey, baby. And she's going, oh, yeah. I'm just like, that's such a kind of like, you know, like a male fantasy image kind of thing. Like, it's just, it's not good.
That's the Burman. Like, that's Burman.
And, what's your worst moment then?
even with, like, you know the Dax's transgender allegory, it doesn't work, and it's bad and it's sleazy. Like, it's not a great thing to do.
It doesn't work for me, because if I was a woman, I guarantee I'd still be ugly, and so I wouldn't be getting looks anyway. So.
Auto.
Oh, you know, you're quite dashing.
My best moment, I'm going to kind of steal.
We'll talk later, Shai.
I'm going to steal a little bit of the Cork and Odo thing, and I think my favourite moment of the Cork and Odo stuff is where Cork walks onto the operations and kind of goes, ta-da, I'm the last person left and I cost £5.50 an hour. We'll discuss
my
rate.
Do you know that fucking gif of that, like, model when she, like, comes through the door and she's like, and she's like sashaying on in heels? That was totally Quark's energy.
Yeah, he knows
moment.
How to make an entrance. I love that moment, because it's like Odo's at his wit's end. Like, I'm the only person that you can help me. Yeah, no, I love that. That's definitely like my top moment of that episode. But yeah, no, it was. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was such a kind of good episode. So let's go on to rating stars.
We always talk each other up when we watch these, because we have fun and we riff, and they're, if we watched them alone, none of these would get the score that they're getting.
Oh, not nearly.
That's the fun of it. We're embracing and loving Star Trek. So
that's why it's Trek Trek, baby.
That's why it's Trek Trek. Stars, give us a Trek Trek criteria for this episode.
That's a Trek Trek.
That
gentlemen. How many Say the Line, Ciscos, out of 10 would you like to give this episode?
We were so reductive today. Like, it didn't come until like the last 3 minutes of the show, and we're all like,
minute
37
was when it's a bread.
Yeah. 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 That's Say the Line, Cisco, out of 10.
Also,
gentlemen.
With your cat so proud on the shoulder, what would you give this episode?
So I liked a lot of the supplementary stuff. I liked that Kira was kind of the hero. The fury with which she punched the energize button in the runabout.
That was strong.
Quark and Odo, great as always. My headphones. O'Brien getting pissed at work. The fact that we didn't get plot until, you know, 11 minutes. I liked all the supplementary stuff, but the plot itself kind of was a letdown.
Dragged,
and I will quote,
yeah.
I will quote the great Ira Bear, who said, the inability to communicate was fun, but I don't think it went for enough. It became, let's see who's going to get a phasic next, and I thought that was a bit of a problem. I felt that just watching it, you're like, okay, who's going to get it next? You're waiting for dialogue to come where it doesn't make sense, and it sort of distracted itself from itself, if that makes sense. So it was a good episode. It was a lot of, it was fun because we were watching it, but it wasn't, a great episode, so I'm going to say 7.7.
That's quite high for not a great.
No, it's a solid episode, but it's not great.
Okay.
You have 2.5 points or 2.2 points of room up there, so.
Shy.
Yes. Come on back.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it like a, I'm going to give this a 7.2.
7.2.
That's TOO. No.
Seven two.
Okay, decimal places.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. A 7.
You coward.
A 7 as well.
Actually, yeah. Shai, you've never given a decimal place answer. You've always been bang on.
No. Purity. Yeah. You know. Otto's...
A Shai as a little head on a table with like milk all over him, like, I admire its purity. And he's staring at a table of all of his ratings of Star Trek, and they're all pure numbers.
Like, yes. All numbers. Yeah, they miss a lot of opportunities here. Like, the station does not descend into the chaos that it should be descending into. And this was a problem with first season DS9, because every, you know, the backdrop of first season DS9 is that Babylon 5 is happening,
yes,
simultaneously, right? And that's much more of what DS9 should have been, like this sort of huge melting pot of civilizations and very conflicting cultures. And you don't really get that. Like, Odo should have been very busy trying to stop fights and putting out literal and figurative fires across the station.
Yeah, the only reference to any, like, crime is when he's like, oh, Quark, don't steal anything. So that's it.
Yeah. Quark's replicating food in a private quarters. That's the big crime that's happening, like, during this episode. But yeah, it's solidly done. It does set the groundwork of the great Quark-Odo relationship. I like Kira's taking charge. I like that they fixed her hair in this episode.
Yes.
And she's just stunning in this episode. So, yeah, 7.
Stiles. I just remembered Captain Jaheel, so please lower my rating to 7.4.
Okay. Stiles.
That's like a C plot.
Yeah, it is. This is a firmly good episode that when I think about the wider experience, I'm like, yeah, this is a totally forgettable episode. But then I think back to all the character bits and I'm like, you know what? There's some solid stuff here. Guess what? It's DS9 at like its worst is still better than like a lot of other Treks just because it has so much commitment to the bit. It will always commit to character over everything else. And I admire it for that every time. That being said, it's still season one. Like, Sisko hasn't quite, like, settled into his groove yet. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of awkwardness there. I feel like they could have tightened up the Jake and Ben stuff a little bit more. I still think that Bashir and Dax, knowing that they're going to get underserved, this was a chance to give them a bit more spotlight than nothing. So I'd give this a 7, say the line Sisko is out of 10.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to agree with a pure 7. A straight 7. It was a perfectly acceptable episode. Like, there was some great bits. Yeah. There was some great, like you say, the Quark and Odo dynamic was great. The virus was a typical Trek medical episode, but sans the actual medical sort of investigation. There wasn't a lot of Bashir spending a lot of time over curing and testing people. It was just him kind of getting.
Yeah, no,
time.
We had to get an outside source to fix it for us.
Kind of. That was the letdown in the episode to me. Is like, and I've solved it. Like, literally, is like, I've stolen this guy. Like, I feel like, though, the point of the episode wasn't the medical drama. It was the drama around the medical situation was kind of more, you know, it was Sisko trying to deal with, like, I feel like it could have elevated itself if they've dealt more with Sisko agonizing over his son and Kira dealing more with, like, Bajoran resistance elements that actually does come to play in future episodes a bit better than this episode. But enjoyed it. Like, it was fine. It's definitely one of those Trek episodes you don't skip. Like, a lot of people rag on DS9 season 1, but I think no, there's some good classic Trek episodes that could have been translated to TNG. This could have been TNG, this could have been TOS, could have been Voyager, it could have been any of sort of like the early, it could have been Discovery. Yeah. This could have easily been a Discovery episode, without a doubt.
Kind of was, really.
Mm.
So when we finish the Trek series, I think we should rewatch from worst to best.
What are you talking about in 2052?
Yes, and see if we've updated our ratings by then.
Well, speaking of ratings, let's have a look where we are with the overall. So Star Trek is now a 6. It's got a 6.0. We've gone up from a 5. Whatever it was to 6.
Guess what? DS9 will continue to bring up that average.
Absolutely will. Where's
considering
DS9?
We're starting all season ones, it's probably gonna end up at like an 8.9.
That's
or something,
not bad. That's
so.
Not bad.
It's gonna get way higher because we're gonna get to TNG season 3. We're gonna get to DS9 season 4. We're gonna get to Voyager season 5.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to Discovery season 2. We're gonna get to all these things. And guess what? Fucking that rating is gonna climb.
Yeah. Well, DS9 season 1 is a 6.2 so far. So we know this. Let's see about where I thought
we haven't gotten Rayo Vanica yet. So, or Al Moraine.
Guess what? We also haven't gotten to Duet yet.
That's true. Well, that's would true. You like to know that if all goes to plan, unless we get sidetracked by someone saying, hey, let's watch this, next 2 weeks should be Voyager's Phage. So that'd be an interesting one.
I think it's good. Yeah. I like the Vidians. The Vidians are cool. They're one of my favorite Star Trek races.
I'm intrigued.
Phantom
to watch,
of the Opera.
I'm intrigued to watch good Voyager episodes because let's see what happens.
There's anyway, a lot of good Janeway drama in that first episode, so I'm looking forward to that.
Indeed, there is. Anyway, thank you everyone for watching. We will see you in a couple of weeks. Like, subscribe, look at the channel, all that kind of stuff. Follow.
Smash that like button.
Oh my god, totally.
I want campfire stories with Shia Porn.
Oh, seriously.
It would be a great series for us to do.
Can I say how out...
It was a dark and spooky night.
Yes.
Dr. Crusher's candle was burning bright.
Oh, God, yeah. There's my Halloween costume this year. I'm going to go as Ronan. All right, okay. Anyway.
Okay, Abrams.
Live long and prosper. See you later. Ta-ra.